You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Rotatoes, I hope you're doing well. We're back again with another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Thank you so much to all of you that are listening to this and helping to make this show happen. Boy, do we have some exciting things that we are cooking up for the show and otherwise on the Rotating Heroes platform. And if you want to check out and know more about that stuff, then you can do by checking out the Patreon. You can do so and get 50% off your first month. That is right, 50 whole percent off your first month. If you just head to the Patreon, you can use the code SHADDY50, that's SHADDY50, and you will get 50% off your first month on any tier. It would be wonderful and amazing to have you over there. And it would mean the world because it's the only way that we carry on making this awesome and epic show. Just a short one from me today. Let's go ahead and get back into this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Take it away, Past Ed.
As we get back into the elevator, the vent, I'm like, man, I really want to know who their boss is. Like, are you not fascinated by who their boss is?
I mean, it sounds like maybe...
I was like, they need a new one.
Yeah, maybe they need a new one. Maybe if they, yeah, if this guy dies, if he like falls off of a roof or something.
that's a specific thing you went for. Why did you go for his falling off a roof?
I don't know. Maybe if we're there when he dies, we'll become their boss. I think that's how it works.
Are you saying that you want to be their boss?
No, I'm just saying there might be some kind of clause in their employment contract that makes it so that we become their boss if we're there with their
a what,
boss.
Sorry?
A clause.
A what, sir?
A clause.
A persona non Santa Claus. Yeah.
We're crawling through the elves and I'm just being like, a clause. I'd say elves, the vents.
Above table, I want to make it very clear. John Mackey, if Shadi becomes Santa Claus at the end of this arc,
I am aware.
I will continue.
I'm fully aware.
I will continue that for every arc subsequently.
I'm fully aware, Jasper.
That canonically Shadi is Santa if you decide to continue down this path.
So as you're making your way through these vents, what are the two of you doing?
I think we're looking for signs of we're trying to find this elevator, I assume.
I would love to. This is exactly the moment that I was hoping for, Edward. I would love to get out my little Zippo lighter as we crawl through these vents, given that it's so dark and so hard to tell which way we're going. And I would like to use my Zippo lighter in this moment for a success so that we find this elevator specifically.
As you're moving through these vents,
and both of us have vests on, white vests. Just
oh, for sure.
Clear.
They're a bit dirtier.
And we're a little bloodied because we got hit a couple times. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, we got thrown across the room. We've got some bruises and cuts on our face and stuff.
For
sure.
Some stuff on us. Yeah.
We're sweaty.
Yeah.
Our shirts are dirty.
As you're making your way through these vents that are, and I cannot reiterate this enough, perfectly sized for two men of your musculature to crawl through, you make your way through these labyrinthine passages until eventually you start to hear the sound of wind. This breeze. As turning a corner, you crawl forward and forward and forward until you are met with a large circular tunnel moving up and moving down. You can see a number of winches and pulleys that stretch for infinity, so it seems. For as you look upwards, you can see everything just disappears into darkness, as does everything down as well. But you can see three floors below, there is the rooftop of something. A lift attached to a number of winches and pulleys. And you can see there is a maintenance hatch on top.
Is it moving currently, this lift?
It is not. However, you used your success to find the lift. You hear, as you look down at the lift, as suddenly all around you, reverberating into the lift itself, this shaft, you just hear a tannoy.
The coldness of space did not finish you off. What if we turn up the heat?
Can both of you make athletics checks for me, please?
Oh, we high five before this happens because we got this.
As you hear behind you the sound of fans and the smell of gas rushing through the vents towards you, both of you, athletics checks.
I have a 15.
I have a 25.
Describe what happens as you both jump out of the vent and down towards this lift.
We're like our arms, well, sorry, my arm and both of Shaddy's arms doing the windmill thing. Yeah. And we're like, and like fire's coming out behind us, you know?
I'm not the brightest guy, so I didn't gauge the distance of this jump perfectly. So I am, also because I got such a worse roll than Jasper, I want to say, I jump and there's just more wind resistance or something. I have one extra arm that he doesn't have. I'm just a hair behind him. And I'm like in the middle of the jump. If you saw the middle of the jump, I feel like everybody would be like, I don't know if Shaddy's going to make it.
And this is the moment I knew I'd fucked up. Yeah.
Record scratch. You're probably wondering how I got here. As fire flies out of the vent behind you both, Yernal, you take 7 points of fire damage, and Shaddy, you take 14. As the backs of your vests are completely singed, as the black just coats the back of both of you, as you just fly down, down and down and down, and both of you take an additional 4 points of bludgeoning damage as you hit the top of the lift, and you can see that this waterfall of fire is now beginning to spread outwards and upwards and downwards into the shaft. You are on top of the lift. What are you both doing?
Can I say that I only took 1 point of damage from landing? But what happened was, is that Yernal instinctively went for a superhero landing, which is where left arm is up in the air, right arm would land on the floor, but he doesn't have a right arm. And so instead he just landed and his head just, poof, fuck, oh, and just like hits his nose directly on the floor.
And Shaddy took that damage because he landed and his like shins smacked the edge of the lift as he jumped because he was just a little short
and just missed it
just like and he just bangs both of his shins and then kind of like slams the rest of his body down on the top of the lift.
Both shins is so tough. I promise you I would be out of action for a week if I hit both shins.
But then I think instinctively he like tries to like from his position like throw open the latch because he like looks up and sees the flames bearing down on us.
Okay, can you make a strength check for me as you can just feel heat and warmth and fire flooding this shaft?
14.
14. You just managed to get it open as there is just a... as it cracks open and both of you take another 6 points of fire damage.
Fuck. Would you allow me to do something as Shaddy's opening that thing? Can I would like to use the spell Conjure Cover.
Love that.
Which basically allows me to like summon like a wall, which it can be up to 18 inches thick. And I basically just like with my one good hand, I kind of roll onto my back, seeing the fire coming. I hold up a hand and out of it, you just see this like metal, these like little metal plates like almost unfold out of one point, like this. And then you can see as the metal becomes like almost like white hot on the other side, there's just like this fire like barreling down on top of us. And I'm like, oh fuck, I can't hold this long. And I see the hatch is open and I just like roll into the hatch and then like close it.
Shaddy, as you see this metal just burning above you, growing hotter and hotter from red to orange to white, and you just see white ahead of you. When's the first time, Shadi, that you saw snow?
That's interesting. That's very interesting. I think there's probably like a distinct memory, probably around the same time as that, the broken toy, around the same age. And there was a morning where Shadi like woke up and was like a little bit cold. He like had that little chill, and he like got up like he normally does and like went about his like little morning routine, went and peed in the toilet, as you do when you wake up, everybody, in the toilet, you could say. And then he like walks out into like the like hallway and down like some stairs, and sort of as he like goes below, I imagine there's like a big sort of balcony area that he kind of goes down and sees these like big...
Oh, that's in the east wing, I think. Yeah.
The east wing. there's these like big windows that go, that are just like floor to ceiling in the front of the house. And he just remembers like the feeling of like being in an alien world where it's like everything is the things that he knows and he remembers, but it's like completely different because all the like architecture of the front yard is like different. The trees are different. There's like, you can't see any of the pathways. The like stairs are covered. Everything is just this like, and he's just like, he remembers like thinking there was something wrong, like being like something crazy had happened and he'd been like teleported to like another part of the world, or like he was like, what the hell's happening? But then I imagine he probably like out the window saw some people, probably like his siblings,
do like a way too serious snowball fight.
Yeah. And then had this like moment of just like, whoa, that looks fun. And then he like throws on his coat and like keeps on his like very expensive pajamas and like slippers,
and then runs through a wardrobe.
Gone for a year, came back.
Yeah. Meets a little mouse, goes on a pirate ship. That's great.
But then runs outside and like has that first experience of like breathing the kind of air that is like makes your lungs hurt. But then like sees his siblings like having fun, and it's like, oh, this is a fun thing, and then starts playing.
Yernal, do you remember this?
I think Yernal does remember this, but he remembers being inside. I think he remembers being stood at a window, and he is the eldest of all of the siblings, and he remembers being stood at a window with his mum just over his left shoulder and looking out, seeing them having fun, watching Shadi kind of like join the fray. And he remembers almost like judging his siblings for like enjoying themselves. As he kind of like dismissed it immediately and went back to probably like watching his mum do some like, you know, crisis management, like whatever, like the snow, like such a rare occurrence has caused like a nightmare for like some, you know, shipping or whatever. And sort of, you know, watching her do that, and his whole experience of the situation is like been funneled through business.
You remember watching, you remember your mother over your shoulder, and you remember Armitage also looking out, children, fun, disgusting.
He's a full human, I'm guessing, in this memory, right? He's got like, he still has a head and a body and arms.
He is. And yet, it is the hand that you remember. For as you stayed indoors, watching your mother, knowing your siblings were outside, you remember the warmth of the fire, and you remember the patience of your mother.
I think Yernal's dressed in like a little like prep school outfit with like a really kind of like tight collar, and he just remembers how he suddenly gets this like flashback of like how tight this uniform was on him and how straight it kept his back. And as he kind of feels the heat of the fire, it almost gets like it's like too hot. Like he stood too close, but he dares not like move without being told to move. And just like a little bead of sweat kind of rolls down his side. And I think he feels that like intense heat of the fire and it almost being overwhelming.
It is an afternoon of you sat there. The heat and the sweat. Even as Shadi outside, you feel the sweat and the cold. As you run, you throw snowballs. And eventually, as the sun begins to dim, and you enter, cold, breathless, your cheeks red and warm, you hear a voice from near the fireplace. Come over here, please, children.
You heard, Mother. Over here, now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't answer back, Shadrick.
Sorry. Shadi walks over and he's like got snow on his feet. His feet are like ice cubes, basically.
Wipe your fucking feet, Shadrick.
Sorry.
Now.
Good. He does it, and it's like really hard to get the ice off of them. So he like takes them off and he starts smacking them together, trying to break the ice off.
Just take them off. Come in here with socks. It's fine.
Okay, fine. He kicks them off and he like takes his jacket off and leaves it by the door and walks in.
You're embarrassing us.
Behind her desk, your mother, poor Selena, has simply been looking into the fire. While you have been outside playing, your brother has been helping me, attending to business. Did you know entire planets have fallen into bankruptcy with each and every snowball that you have thrown? And she stands, moving past Armitage. Armitage is my right hand. Do you know what that means?
He's like, he like looks at Urinal. He's like your favorite, like your employee that does all your good, the good stuff for you.
It means he does everything that I deign not to. And Yernal, as you sit there and you feel the fire and the warmth, you watch as each of your siblings are visited by Armitage, one by one by one. And each and every one of you, Shadrick, feel the warmth upon your chin of a handprint for the rest of the day.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
As on top of the lift, you
That's
feel bits
up.
Of metal just beginning to melt onto your cheek, and suddenly you are back and you realize that you're underneath a cascade, a pillar of fire that is burgeoning down on you from on top. What are you doing, Shadi?
I look and I see that Urinal is like struggling to hold this in place. And so I kind of like scurry to the hole and I try to like fall through, but I like grab him with one hand and the hatch with the other, and I try to like pull him in and pull the hatch down kind of in one motion to limit the amount of fire that gets into the thing.
Both of you collapse down onto the floor in a heap as there is just a on the roof of the lift. Welcome to the zero. Yeah. Up and down elevator. Where would you like to go?
1201. Please be voice activated.
Very, very well. Please enjoy some lift music while you ride. Oh, up and down, oh, up and down, to the next floor you take me. Oh, up and down, oh, up and down. And this continues to float by in the background as the two of you lie there on the ground.
Oh, it's crazy. This thing doesn't feel like it's moving very fast, but like I know objectively that it is moving very fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'd feel like some acceleration, but it's just kind of smooth. It's like well made, I guess.
And you see Shaddy's like laying on the ground still, and he's like touching his face where like the metal like hit it, and it's like raw.
What the fuck? This sucks. And then he like sits up. And he just kind of sits against the side of the elevator for a second, like with his feet spread out in front of him, like splayed out in a V. And he's just like sitting there trying to catch his breath, noticing that his tank top is now a little dirtier and now there's more pronounced injuries to his face. He is now hot, so he's sweatier. And there's maybe now a little soot, you know, from the fire. Covering his face, and so he's realizing that him and Urinal are getting pretty beat up here.
Mm-hmm.
They're about halfway's worth of beat up here.
With that, I think Urinal just kind of also sits up, and I feel like the two of them now resembling less these kind of hardened warriors and more the two burglars from a Home Alone movie.
And we're sitting like on either side of the elevator, our feet like in a V facing each other, both kind of just.
I pull out from my pocket like a little like bouncy ball and I start like bouncing it. I bounce it like on the floor, like over to Shaddy. And then as he sends it back and then I bounce it one more time and you see the ball begins to glow. And I'm going to use my lay on hands. I'm not going to do all because, you know, I'm a clever D&D player. So I'm going to give me 15 and Shaddy 15. And then that means I have 5 left. So I could like, I can bring us back to like 1 or whatever if needs be. So I'm leaving like a little in the tank just in case we like go down to 0 hit points.
In this moment, I remember we have the sodas.
That's fine because like we still both need a little extra, right?
Yeah. And so I take it out. I take mine out and I crack it.
Whoa, Jay, we should probably, just in case, if I go down, you should give me the soda, you know?
I'm really thirsty.
Oh, you're just drinking because you're thirsty? Oh, that's fine. Okay.
No, I don't have to.
Oh, yeah, no, go. Yeah, if you're thirsty.
Shaddy tries to, like, pull the tab back up.
No, if you're thirsty. Yeah, no, if you're thirsty.
No, Shaddy, like, reaches in with his finger, and he pulls the little push tab back up to the top.
No, you're going to cut your finger. You're going to cut your finger.
And it doesn't really work, so he...
No, just drink it. Just drink it.
No, he crumples the top.
Dude, it's going to be like, it's going to lose its thing. It's going to lose its thing.
No, he crumples the top. He takes the top and he squeezes it.
No, it's going to lose its going to lose its potency.
He squeezes it so it's closed again and he kind of rolls the tin or like the metal down a little bit so that it is closed and he puts it back in his bag.
Fuck, just drink it. Please drink it. Please, Shaddy.
No, I'll save it. I'll save it.
I open one and I throw it at Shaddy.
Don't, I can take care of myself. All right? I don't need your drink. And he throws it back at him.
What do you mean? Like, I know you can take care of yourself, but that doesn't mean you can't accept help.
I know, but you always think I need help, and I don't need help. And I grab it, and I throw it back at him.
It's not me assuming that you need help. It's me offering to give you help, even if you don't need it, because it's just the right thing to do.
I appreciate it, but every now and then, I'd love to just have one thing that I do by myself.
And he throws it back across the elevator at him.
Well, that would be great if you did something by yourself, but you don't, do you, Shaddy? You just fucking don't. I throw it, but like, I'm like, clearly like, I threw it too hard and like just hit it against the wall. And I'm like, sorry. I didn't, fuck.
Jasper, can you roll a D6 for me, please?
That's a one.
The words don't hurt Shaddy, perhaps not as much as they should do, but you still take 1 point of psychic damage.
I didn't mean...
No, it's fine.
I didn't... No, but like...
No, it's fine. It's fine. Shut up. It's fine. Okay?
No, but I didn't mean that you don't do... It's just like...
I didn't mean it. Nobody ever means it, but it does... No, it doesn't matter.
But I just, well, you know what? Maybe I fucking did mean it. Maybe I fucking did mean it. Like, maybe you should just stop fucking thinking about other people and just decide who you're gonna be, Shaddy. Fuck.
Yeah, maybe. But I can't ever be, I can't figure that out if I'm always getting bailed out. Sometimes I just want to fail, you know? Sometimes I'm like, hey, let me, how about I really fail? And then I find out that when I die, they reprint me. I can't fail. It's impossible to fail in this life when your parents don't let you experience any consequences. You know, how cool is that? We never get to fail.
Oh, that's fucking great. That's awesome for you. You know what? You know what? You want to know what happened with me? I failed every time. I was never good enough. I was told I was supposed to be the fucking golden boy, okay? I was told that I was supposed to be the inheritor to the Turlet throne. And you know what happened? And if it's okay, Ed, I think Yernal's going to get a memory, potentially?
Roll an insight check.
23.
What's the memory?
Yernal remembers he scores the winning touchdown. He throws the ball for the winning touchdown for the Thunders, and it's like easily the best moment of his life, where he's just like achieved something that he's always dreamed of. And like, literally, like, we'll never forget seeing his parents, like, turning and leaving, like, out of the, like, family box or whatever that they're in the stadium. They, like, turn and leave in that moment. And the whole, like, going from this highest high just immediately becomes, like, the, like, what did I do wrong? It's not even, like, a low. It's, like, the questioning. It, like, rips the whole thing up, because it's like, what happened? What didn't I do that pleased you? Because everything I think that he has done up to that point is the moment, is like to the point of making them happy, is like making sure that they are pleased with him and that they are happy with him. And I think this is the moment for the Yernal that we met in arc one. I think this is the moment where that seed of resentment first, like, sprouted. That moment that he went, what the fuck? Like, I'll never fucking be good enough for you. And you, I think he acknowledges in that moment that that's their power. Is that, like, the fact that he'll never be good enough is the thing that means that he has to keep trying. And he, like, rejects that.
You rolled a 23. And in that moment, as you remember this, you remember that exact same moment. That moment of your parents turning away from that moment that meant the most in the world to you. That has happened 23 times over.
I think a white, like, hot rage descends. Yernal looks Shadi in the eye across his elevator, clicks his neck to the side, and just goes, hey, Shadi. You know what we're gonna do?
At some point I'm gonna eat this turkey sub. What? Sorry, what?
You've been staring at that and dribbling for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We're gonna really fuck some stuff up. Okay?
We're
gonna do what Mom and Dad want. We're gonna make sure this has some really far-reaching consequences.
Floor 1201.
I think we both kind of probably snap to attention, I would assume. And stand up as if we haven't been, like, out of breath and dying on the floor of this elevator, to, like, sort of put up appearances in case there's something crazy out there. At least that's what I do, not to speak for you, Jasper.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, let's kill anyone that's out here trying to kill us, but then after that, we should think about what we're actually going to do here.
Okay.
We shouldn't let the merger happen, because I think the merger is bad. But we also should find a way to fuck Mom and Dad with this, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah? You down?
Yeah. You know, I just was thinking about it while we were... I saw those elves who are adult people.
They are, yes.
Being tied up. And it just reminded me of all those times when I was younger that I saw stuff happening that I was like, wait a second, that's not what you do to people. And I just, like, had this realization that, like, I don't want to be treated that way. I don't want to treat people that way. I want to be better. I want to be different. I want those elves, who again are adult people, to not live in fear and be like scared of like getting like in trouble for doing their jobs. You know, it's ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
And it's our parents, it's our family, it's our names. So let's get out here and, like you said, kill anything that looks like it's gonna kill us. But I don't think we need to make sure that prophecy doesn't happen for anybody. But then Shaddy goes to do the predator thing with his right hand, and as he's swinging, he remembers, and then he switches to his left, and he throws out his left hand for a left-handed predator handshake.
Boom! We connect, it makes a really loud noise, and then both of our heads snap to the open door, realizing that we've just made such a loud noise, and anything that wasn't aware we were in the elevator now is so aware that we're in the elevator.
First off, Shaddy, gain a point of inspiration. And as you look out towards the outside of this lift, you see space. Or rather, you see a large floor-to-ceiling window, concave, looking out upon the universe. And you realize that as you look out, that there is a large red-carpeted balcony immediately outside the lift that looks down onto a large open plateau. It is huge, red-carpeted. There are tables that stand around with a variety of displays on, and food and pyramids of champagne flutes. And in between these, you can see hundreds of people stood around in large suits and suit skirts, each with large hairdos and larger shoulder pads, all of them mingling, smoking indoors. You can see that there is a cacophony of people downstairs, none of whom you have drawn the attention of, because all of them are staring in one direction only. Can both of you make perception checks for me?
7.
16.
Looking down at everyone below, Shaddy, you can make out relatively little, but Yernal, looking out, you can see that while there is no one immediately where you are, round the balcony, as you just peek your head outside of the lift, you can see dozens of Widowmaker robots all round the top of the balcony. But this is not what draws your attention. Because on a stage, downstairs, you can see the hundreds of people looking towards 5 figures. You can see the 4 identical co-owners of Co. Harry, Albert, Sam, and Jack. Each of them wear a suit, and their faces are covered by flat black boxes, no matter from which direction you view them. But opposite, you see the CEO of the Spider Accountants of Webflix, Jack Widow. A large, singularly hairless spider, all pale, pallid skin, each stretching leg ends in a long-fingered hand, and all about his grotesque, rounded sack of a body, a suit and tie are snugly fitted. And from out of this, a disturbingly normal head emerges, with pale features, a brown comb-over, and blindingly white teeth. As he looks upon the assembled, "Folks, you are here to witness a singularly historic occasion. The incredible folks over at Co. have been responsible for so much over the last centuries. They have given us not to mention, and it is a storied legacy that we are only too happy to take on and nourish." A ripple of applause goes over the crowd. "Of course, care must be taken in its preservation, and sacrifices must be made. Given the advances of technology, it seems a waste not to offload the more menial jobs, especially around the holiday period.
allowing folks to focus on more fulfilling pursuits. Therefore, I am proud to announce that 80% of whose workforce will be allowed to step away from the company and their roles replaced by our Widowmaker force of automated drones. After all, this is a large universe, and we are here to provide a helping hand. Or eight. As a ripple of laughter and applause. All we have to do, and he reaches out four of his eight limbs in the direction of Co. and each of its founders, is shake, and the deal will be sealed, and he begins to reach out.
How far away from this are we?
You are around, I would say, 30 feet away, up on the balcony and looking down.
I know what I want to do.
Hey, go for it.
I think that Yernal turns to Shadi. I kind of nod. I'm glad it's you that I'm doing this with. And then you watch as Yernal disappears in like a poof of white light. And then reappears 30 feet away, right in between right in between as the arms are reaching out, they just kind of bump into Yernal's body as he literally stands in the way of the four limbs on the table and just says, "Viva la revolution! Let's fucking go! Yippee-yi-yo, motherfuckers!"
As you say that, streaming in from either side of the room, you just hear, in response, "Viva la revolution!" Yeah. As a horde of elves streams in, attacking everyone from either side. They have tape measures, they have rulers, they have little hammers and chisels, but they are running in as Shadi. Seeing this from above, what are you doing?
Can I just say one last thing as Yernal stood there? I'll just shout to Shadi, "Tell me how awesome this moment was. I think I'm probably gonna die now." As like all of the fucking Widowmakers are like about to fucking like turn me into Swiss cheese.
And Shadi hears that and he goes, "Not if I got anything to say about it, brother." And he rages.
What? What did you say? The elves made so much noise. I can't hear you properly.
Before he doesn't hear, he can't hear any of that. And he just rages. And let's see what happens. Oh, God. Please be a good one. Please. Oh! Whenever a creature hits you with an attack roll before your rage ends, that creature takes 1d6 of force damage as magic lashes out in retribution.
Hell yeah. So with all of that said, as you rage, what are you doing? What is your target? You have the Widowmakers on the balcony around you. Down, you just have a horde of capitalists, and in front of them on the stage, in front of this concave window, looking out into space itself, you have your brother in between the four founders of Co. and Jack Widow. What are you doing?
I'm had so much fun absolutely destroying these Widowmakers before. I am going to rip them apart. I'm going to do my best to rip apart these Widowmakers in a blaze of glory.
Hell yeah. Make an attack roll for me.
17.
17. Describe what happens as you carve through at least six of these off to one side, the other six behind you just beginning to just turn around and point in your direction.
I scream, like, because I realize now that Yernal said, "I'm probably going to die now, but how cool is this?" I scream back, "Not as cool as this!" And then I just run down this, like, sort of flank of enemies. And I'm just, like, running past and doing, like,
just full sweeps back and forth, like just through each one as I go through, just like pieces of them flying up into the air. I maybe even grab one of the arms and hit one of them in the face with an arm to knock it over the balcony. And then I finally get to the last one and I take it out, and then I turn around and I look at the other ones that are, I'm assuming, now running towards me.
They are immediately going to open fire on you, and
they
miss with an 8.
Does he get a flashback of chopping his dad's head off with this axe?
They do, and it is weirdly satisfying. And as you turn around and see these other Widowmakers beginning to shoot at you, just you are too fast, your axe is too quick, as bullets are just ricocheting off you as you just rush towards them. Even with that, the magic that is encircling you, bullets are pinging off and flying into the crowd, taking out members of the opposition.
Dude, each bullet is bouncing off of me and doing 6 damage to everything. That's incredible.
Just killing members of the crowd? Fuck yeah.
As people are just falling all around.
That's incredible. And I just say, I think I have to say it in this moment as I'm about to go after these other 6. I look them in the eyes and I say, Yippee-yi-yo, motherfucker.
Yeah!
And I just run directly at him.
As this is happening and you see your brother charging into the fray, Yernal, what are you doing up on stage between these two individual companies that are about to merge? As all things become one, they shall know the meaning of true power. What are you doing?
Okay, I would love to do 2 things. One, is the paperwork on the table?
It is, yes.
Okay. I would love to cast Intaligo. I found this spell on a random thing on D&D Beyond, but it's on my character sheet, and so therefore I took it. You can transform a piece of parchment into a duplicate of text. So I would like to make an exact replica of this contract. onto a blank piece of paper that's also on the table. And then I'm gonna ball that up and like shove it in like a breast, into a cargo shorts pocket. And then I'll immediately destroy the original.
Ooh.
Okay. Incredible. Can you make whatever skill check that you would like to destroy this, you may do so.
I'm gonna roll Intimidation because I also wanna basically tell members of Co and Mr. Spider to, like, you know, like, don't try and fuck with me right now. Leave me alone.
Okay.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Immediately, they just back away from you as you just destroy the contract that is in front. And you see Jack Widow immediately, no! And you see all just, no, 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 as they all look towards this destroyed parchment in front of you. And can I ask both of you to make strength saving throws for me, please, as several things happen at once.
We're both good at this.
All right, come on. I roll a dirty 20.
24.
Ooh, scary.
Several things happen at once. As you just hear a you just see emerging from the shadows a large, monstrous looking creature. It is huge. It is covered in black metal, and you can see that rather than the 8 limbs, it is 4. It is bipedal, on 2 large triple jointed legs and 2 very long arms. As you see emblazoned upon its chest, as a large horned head rears itself, KR4M9U5, Krampus. As emerging from the shadows, it comes out. But as this happens, can both of you make perception checks for me, as each and every step causes everyone in the room to fall to the ground?
16.
11.
You both notice several things happen at once. Yernal, you hear something coming from Jack Widow's suit. a radio.
Mr. Widow, we have found the printer.
As he says this, Shadi, from where you stand, you suddenly see, almost as if on cue with the destruction of the contract, so you see something appear out of light speed. A ship. A very, very familiar one. A sky cruiser, and emblazoned across the side, the unmistakable Turlet family logo. And all around the Tannoy system, you just hear...
Members of Redacted Co., this is Porcelina Turlet. One deal is off the table. We are prepared to offer you another one.
And as this happens, Journal, as you turn and look towards this, you see your family ship. And then you see something else, something smaller, flying through the darkness of space, getting closer and closer and closer. And you see that trailing along its right side, there is a very familiar, frozen right arm.
Motherfuck.
Does a 30 hit?
Oh my god!
As smashing through the concave window, there is an almighty crash as Bro just smashes through, careening into you and slamming you into a nearby wall. I thought we were bros. And as this happens, Shadi, I'm gonna ask you to make a strength saving throw for me, please. As suddenly everyone is thrust outside of this sheer change in air pressure, sucked out into space itself. What did you roll, Shadi?
A 22.
Shadi, you watch as hundreds of bodies fly out of this now breached space station into the vacuum of space. You see also that Jack Widow is still holding on, barely, with his pliable fingers just crunching into the carpet. The Krampus too, also just holding onto the balcony and holding in place. But you see, as the members of Redacted Co. fly on out into space, it is as though they are caught in mid-air, each and every one of them. And you see that from the Turlet family ship, each and every one of them have been caught by tractor beams and are slowly being dragged towards their sky cruiser. As you sit there, and you can feel that the space station is slowly beginning to close itself up, you can see that the pressure is beginning to dim. You can see that the protective ceiling is beginning to form itself, a force field around the outside of the ship. You watch from on high as Bro brings your brother up towards his face.
It's just business, Bro.
And he lets go of his neck as your brother flies out into the vacuum of space. And you watch as he is sucked up and up and up towards the top of the tower. Just as everyone is being drawn upwards, irrevocably, towards the gaping black hole.
Fuck.
And then they are gone. And you simply hear from Jack Widow's radio.
Mr. Widow, the printer has been destroyed.
Fuck!
And that is where we're going to end this week's episode.
I am so fucked.
You're so fucked.
I have
fucked.
No idea what to do. Oh my god.
Oh, this is sick. I don't even have to come back for the last episode.
Ed, you fucking freak.
Dude, John, this is just you. This is just you and Ed in the last episode. I didn't even be here. I'm not even going to be on that episode.
No, I'm going to save you. Don't you worry.
I think I'm done, dude. You're not Iron Man. You don't have fucking jet thrusters right now. I'm fucked.
No, but they're...
Nah, I'm fucked. Nah, I'm 100%. I'm Shadi in space getting sliced up by the Salt Father fucked right now.
But there's... Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not good, dude.
Shouldn't have betrayed bro.
Like, yeah.
Shouldn't have betrayed bro. Fuck. I thought the bro was going to be... Well, bro was kind of bad anyway, right? Like, bro was kind of bad. Fuck.
Honestly, bro was on the level.
Don't tell me this. Fuck you.
And then you threw him out an airlock.
Fuck you. It's... No, he was bad. He got hacked and stuff, and he would have been... It's fine. Shut up. Shut up, Ed. speaking of Edward Spence... where can people find you on the internet? Man, fuck, I need to get to the Ark Bar quickly. Hurry up. Full and legal name, Edward
people
Spence.
People can find me everywhere. Edward Spence, he, him, find me everywhere. Yeah.
John Mackey.
Same stuff as all of the episodes. It's always the same. Anything, if you've listened to any of them, you know what I mean. At it's John Mackey, Brett DeMacho, buddy. You can find it wherever you listen to
And go and listen to that. It's fucking great. JW _ Cartwright, who cares? Give a gift to someone at Patreon. Go listen to our Ark Bar because it's going to be great because I need to talk to Ed Spence. I need to have a fucking minute with him right now. no, all jokes aside, thank you so much for another wonderful episode. You two wonderful people. I hope, not only do I hope that our listeners have a wonderful holiday season filled with lovely things, I hope that you two do too.
Oh, it's Christmas, isn't it? Sorry, yeah.
We keep forgetting because we're doing this extremely non... That was actually a pretty un-Christmas episode.
Yeah.
It started bad, but that was because of mistakes of previous episodes.
Sure.
Yeah, and Krampus is like anti-Christmas.
Exactly. Krampus is exactly the thing we want to see.
Yeah, we wanted this to be Krampus-themed.
Yeah.
I said Krampus, and you kept... You know, I don't know why it's taken so long for Krampus to appear.
Holy shit.
Merry Krampus.
As soon as you said, okay, I'm going to save it for the Ark Buck. Go listen to the Ark Buck, everyone. thank you so much for this. Another brilliant episode. Thank you so much to our rotating GM, Edward Spence, and to the wonderful guest, John Mackey. We'll be back next week with the final, or the week after, who knows? I don't know what our release schedule is for this. The final episode of this arc of the Rotating Heroes podcast. Thank you so much, and we will see you very soon. Yippee-ki-yo!
Yippee-ki-yo, motherfucker!
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.